crossroads, because as we start going through these things, I love to preach a Good Friday message of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us, but we don't have a Good Friday service, so next week I'll preach on the cross, which means today we'll talk about sort of a Palm Sunday type of service. So I'm 1 week ahead of myself, which is always kind of scary. But in here, as we start turning our hearts towards Easter and how that changes everything, truly, as Christians, the hope that we have in Easter, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if that is true, which it is, how that changes everything. And so, you know, Easter Sunday, I've been working on the message already, and it's really this idea of what if. What if this is really true? Then how does that affect me in this world? And we can rejoice and live a life in light of that truth of what he has done for us. And my favorite phrase, I'm going to preach Easter Sunday sermon this morning, but my favorite phrase is that he is not here, he is risen just as he said. And if Jesus can raise from the dead, there's nothing he cannot do. And if he can conquer that, he can conquer anything in our lives. And if that is true, then what does that mean for us? But this morning I want to turn our heart towards the idea of worship. And as Jesus came in riding on that colt, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," laying down the palm branches and laying down their coats to hail the King of the Jews. And what a contrast that really is, because for the Romans, you know, to be a king, you rode in a white steed with a long robe and great fanfare. And I imagine that Jerusalem was being filled up with all the travelers come to worship for the Passover. And over in the corner comes Jesus riding on this colt. What a motley crew that must have looked like. And from the outside, looking in, like, what in the world is this? Maybe it seems very insignificant. But for those who were in that moment, this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has come among his people. And let's rejoice and let's worship. And so in here, there's the Pharisees and the religious leaders were telling Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus says, look, if we remain silent, even the stones will cry out. Our God is worthy of praise. Our God is worthy to be worshipped in the midst of all that's going on around us. As God's people need to cry out to him and worship him. And true worship isn't a matter of standing or sitting or raising hands or not. You know, I come from a Baptist tradition, and we never raised our hands. You know, if we raised our hands, I was afraid that someone, you know, the pastor would pick on me for something. You know, so we just didn't do that, you know. And I remember going down to Liberty University, and there we have such a mixture of folks from different denominations who all love Jesus, and watching the worship. And everyone was different. You know, some were all excited. And some were somber and reflective. And God looks at the heart, and that's where worship begins. I remember we were in a church, and we had one lady that was excitable during the worship songs. And we had another gentleman who wasn't. And one Sunday, she approached him. And she goes, well, how can you sit there like this when we're praising Jesus? And he goes, I'm excited on the inside. And that's what God is pleased with, is a heart of worship. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Says, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me. Like I said, we can look on the outside. We can be all excited and raise hands and jump, and we can do all those type of things, and or sit there with our arms crossed. And the idea is our hearts get drawn to Him. The term of worship means to exalt, to lift up. One of the Greek words that's used for worship has the idea of a kiss one's hand, as a dog would lick its master's hand. And this week we have a little Shih Tzu, and you know, if I'm gone for any length of time, I'll come home and sit down in the chair. And if you guys have a dog, it's kind of like that, because they're different from cats. You know, we walk in the door, our cat looks at you like, oh, you're home again. You know, feed me and then leave me alone. I mean, he's just like, all right. You know, our dog, I mean, we've been gone, you know, anything longer than 10 minutes, you walk in, he's like, oh, you're home. I'm here. Oh, I love you. I'm so glad you're home. Oh, you're sitting down. Oh, let me jump on you. And he's like, and my daughter's like, oh, give him kisses. And I'm like, I ain't kissing the dog. You know, and he gets right up there. He's just like, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me. And our poor dog doesn't have a nose. And so it's just eyes. And it's like, you know, all right, yeah, I like you too. And he's, you know, it takes him a little while to. And that's the terminology that's used for our worship to God. Do we just love the Lord? That it overflows in everything we do. We're excited when His presence is near. But it's a matter of heart and not exterior, because we can fake the outside. We can convince everyone else how close we are with the Lord by what we do and how we act and what we say and how we talk. But God knows the heart. Elsewhere, Jesus says this, as then He said, the hour is coming and now is here, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. One of the things that just I see today is so many people want to go to God on their own terms. And God says, no, you come to me on my terms. Don't come to Him on my idea of truth, but come to Him based on what He wants from us and His truth. To worship Him and exalt Him and love Him. Because I love Him, it changes me. Because it comes from the heart. I remember that transition of being a single guy to being a married guy. And my wife was pretty patient in me, because she'd have to remind me sometimes. She goes, John, remember, you're a married guy now. And I remember having single friends, especially guys, you know, because it's like, hey, do you want to go off and do this? And when I was single, I'd say, yeah, let's go do that. Well, I found out pretty quick that when you're married, I learned, let me go ask my wife. Let me go check with my wife. Now, I don't know if you guys remember back when you were single, but single guys love the razz, the new guy, you know? Oh, the old ball of Jane. Oh, what kind of leash do you have? And going on and on and on, right? Trying to, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, man, you're whipped. But it wasn't that at all. Why? Because I love my wife and I want to please her above everything else. So let me go check. It wasn't a burden. Because it came from the heart. And we worship God. Sunday morning, you know, I wake up Sunday morning, I'm excited to come to church. And you can say, well, you're the pastor, you have to show up. Well, I guess I don't have to. One of my pastor friends, his wife just gave birth, I think it was Friday, Jonathan Ray. His wife just had another child. And so this morning on Facebook, he goes, hey, guess what? There's going to be a, I don't know how many year, hour old baby in church up here. And I said, I'd love to come, but I have to work. And he told me, he goes, call in sick. I said, I don't think that would really fly if the pastor calls in sick to go see someone else's baby in it. But
I get excited to come to church. I get excited to see people. God's people. The family. I mean, to me, every Sunday is like a family reunion, because some of you I haven't seen in a week. And I'm excited to see you.
It comes from the heart. And God seeks us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To come before us, it's not a matter of place. The dialogue here that Jesus was talking to is the woman at the well. And she says, look, is it Jerusalem that we worship? Or is it in the mountain in which we worship? And God says, look, the worship of God isn't tied down to a place. Because it comes from our hearts. And we worship Him and exalt Him for who He is. And there's three passages of Scripture I want to look at this morning. We're going to end with the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. But first I want to take a look at this idea. Look, as we worship Him, let our worship be unashamed. Let it be unashamed. Years ago, I was talking to a pastor, and he was talking about he did lunch with someone from his church. He goes, as they sat down to eat, the gentleman took his napkin and he dropped it and he bent over and he paused for a second and then scooted back up. And the pastor looked at him and said, what was that all about? That was kind of weird. He goes, well, I know we're out, and so I know I have to, you know, I should pray for my food. He goes, but I don't want people to think I'm praying. So he goes, I dropped my napkin, and so I have a time so I can say my prayer as I pick it up. My head's bowed, and then I can get my head back up and put the napkin up on the table. And she goes, and I'm all set. I've prayed, but I haven't made a spectacle of myself. And the pastor friend looked at the guy. He goes, never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of Jesus. My pastor friend said, I wanted to get on the side of the table, get on my knees, and pray out loud. He goes, I didn't put my friend on my spot that way. But sometimes I think as we talk about God and our religion and how we worship Him, we want to do this in secret. We hear this in the world today, right? Oh, I believe in freedom of religion as long as you do it in your home, right? Don't bring it out in the public square. Don't bring it out in the Discord. Folks, that's where we need it the most. I remember growing up and being told by the pastor, you know, that Christians shouldn't belong in politics. And I disagree with that. What we need is more Christians who are going to go and take a stand for what is right. Who will not compromise. My heart broke just a couple weeks ago as they were debating some of the horrendous legislation that's going through the House right now, heading towards the Senate. The one senator stood up and said, look, this is the will of God, and quoted some scripture verses, and the response was from the other side is that the will of God has no place within this house. Oh, how wrong they are. How wrong they are. And we've turned. And Christians, we are ashamed of our stance. We're ashamed to be truthful and honest. We find ourselves today in the dialogues we have talking in whispers and hushes because we're afraid of what someone might hear us. 2 Samuel chapter 6 talks about David. And David is a great guy. Made a lot of mistakes, but he loved the Lord. He messed up a lot. And time again came back and asked forgiveness of God. And a man after God's own heart, he's called. And what had happened is prior to this was the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines, the enemies of God. Had the symbol, the presence of God in their midst. And at this point, they had just gotten it back. And it's making its way to Jerusalem as they bring it down through. And on the adventure end, it comes in and David sees it. And this is his response to the presence of God coming to them. Look what he says. It says, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod, So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David leaping and twirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious is the king of Israel." I don't know if I can get the sarcasm in this right. "How glorious is the king of Israel today. Uncovered himself today the eyes of the maids of his servants as one base fellow shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." David was so overcome as the ark of the Lord was brought in that he danced before the Lord. And he came out through, not in his royal robe, not as dignified as a king, but he came out through in his undershirt, if you will. He came out through and worshipped and danced before God. So overcome. But his wife looked at him and said, David. She was embarrassed by him. Now, I can speak as a husband whose wife has been embarrassed by his actions in public. I know what that look is like. But David didn't care. He says, "Look, this is before God. I don't care who is looking. I don't care who is spying on. I don't care. Let them all see. I love the Lord. I am not ashamed of it." Christians, as we worship Him in our everyday life, I hope you are so filled with worship and praise of God that it just spills over, that people around you know that you love Jesus. It's not real popular today. The whole God's word is truth. But you know what? I don't care. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for sinners, of which I am most. Had an opportunity this week to talk with someone, and they're not believers. And I said, "Look, we are all broken." And they didn't like that. They wanted to say, "Hey, you know what, we're all okay. We're not okay. I have sinned in my life. I don't do the things I'm supposed to do. And the things I shouldn't do, I do. And I try to cover it and hide it. I don't want you to know what I'm really like." And before you get all judgy, you don't want me to know what you're really like either. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for you, though unworthy as you are. He poured out his grace upon you while you were lost. And folks, if God has come into your life, how can you not rejoice in Him? The power of God to transform us, to change us, to save us, to bring us into His family. Matthew 5:15 says this, "Nor do they take a light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, to give light to those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." You know the verse. "Let your light so shine before men, and they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Folks, we are here as beacons to shine. not for myself, but for the glory of God, to point people to the gospel, to the good news, that they can be saved. Look, if God can save a wretch like me, he can save anyone. And folks, how can I not be excited? I remember years ago, I was preaching a message, and this lady, she kind of looked at me, and she was visiting, and she had never heard me before, and at the back door, she looked at me, and she goes, "Pastor, don't you think you get a little too excited? Don't you think you get a little too excited?" I said, "You haven't seen nothing. I hold back, you know, right? But how can you not be excited? Tuesday night Bible study. We get in there, we get there discussing. It is so good to get into God's Word and hear it from Him. And it just kind of blows your socks off." That's from a Baptist coming that, right? I mean, that's just... And folks, in this world, as it is getting darker so fast, let our light so shine before men. Not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Years ago, I had a lady come up. I always pick on ladies. I don't mean to pick on ladies this morning, but it was a lady came up to me. And she goes, "I didn't like that message." I said, "Well, why?" She goes, "You talked about the blood a lot. You know, all you Christians talk about blood, 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 blood." She goes, "That's so old-fashioned. You know, we're beyond blood now." I said, "You know what? The cornerstone is Jesus is the Lamb of God. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." I think our problem is today is that we don't have enough blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you believe that? Folks, that should thrill your soul. Not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, as we worship God, let it be a sacrifice. Let it be a sacrifice. Out of this, in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were preaching, and they were taken and they were arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was just one of these guys, you knocked him down, he just got back up again, and he preached Jesus even more. And in Acts, they were taken, and this is where we pick up the story. They're arrested and brought into jail. And Acts 16, verses 23 and 24 says this. It says, "And then they had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of not being ashamed, they were rewarded by beatings and whips and thrown into not just the prison, but into the darkest corner of the prison and shackled there." And how about you? Well, I would be like, "Oh, poor me." Like I said, my emotions are sore overpowered, so I can get kind of finicky. And I'd be like, "Oh, poor me. Look what I did. You know, I tried to stand up. I tried to do right, and I get knocked down." But you know what? Not Paul and Silas. Here they are, wounded, shackled. And in the middle of the night, the Bible says, it was at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. In the middle of prison, singing songs in the night of praise to God. Folks, in the middle of this COVID, in the midst of all that's going on, may our voices ring out in praise to our God in the darkness that's around us. As I see this nation going downhill so fast, morally, in so many different ways, may my voice rise up in praise to God in the darkness. may I not go down quietly. And Paul and Silas in the middle started singing and praising to God, and everyone else didn't have a choice to listen. Right? I mean, they had a captive audience, literally. Talk about Tuesday Bible study once again, when we talk about Paul being in prison. And he saw that as an opportunity to preach to the guards that were chained to him. Chapter 16 continues. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosened. And the prison keeper of the prison awakened from a sleep.
Yeah, I'm glad he was awake.
Seeing the prison doors open, suppose the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. He was responsible, and he was asleep at the job. And he woke up to the earthquake, and the doors were open. He says, uh-oh, this is it. And he's going to take his own life. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself. We are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? It was a sacrifice. When we talk about this idea of a sacrifice of praise, Hebrews picks this theme up. Hebrews 13 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. See, folks, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. Right? When you go down to the mailbox and there's a check in it, woohoo! Praise God! Right? You go to the doctor, you're nervous, and the test results come back negative. Woohoo! It's easy to praise God. When the church is full and the voices are being raised, it's so easy to praise God. But I'll tell you, when the results come back positive, when I lose my job, when I don't get the check, but the bills keep piling up, folks, God's still worthy of praise. The fruit of our lips that lift him up in the hard times. That's when praise becomes a sacrifice.
That's when every fiber of our body feels like crawling up, and now you want to get out of bed that morning. And yet, God, I will praise you.
Not because what he has done for me, but just because of who he is. God is worthy of praise because of who he is. And in the hard times, in the difficult times, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise. God, I don't want to be fair-weather Christian. Right? And we all know. We know so many people that when things are going well, oh yeah, things are going great with God. But boy, when things get hard, they're nowhere to be found. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 says this, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
Right? Christians, we should be walking around saying, woezy, we, oh, poor me. There shouldn't be too many Christian Eeyores. Oh, well, it's going to happen anyway. Oh, well. I knew it wasn't going to work. Why even bother? The world can do that. But in the difficult times, Lord, I come to you. And God, I'm excited to see how you're going to work this all out.
God, in the middle of all this, you are going to do a work. God has a plan. Strengthen the hands. Don't let them droop down. Pick up the knee. Praise him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be faint. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Christian, lift up the sacrifice of praise when it is not easy. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Folks, I'm not telling you being a Christian is not hard. We suffer. This has been a tough year. Financially, it's been hard. Morally, it's been hard. Spiritually, I'm not taking any of that away. But Christian, in the midst of this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? We should be excited and thrilled that in the midst of all this, I have the God of all creation holding my hand. I know my God shall provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. Folks, I could go on scripture all day long about how good and great God is in the middle of the tragedies we are in. It doesn't take away the pain. We've suffered loss. But we don't weep as those who have no hope. That behind the tears, we have a joy that this world cannot take away. Folks, I've seen so much today. The philosophy is that, wait a minute, you know what? The government will take and give us all this stuff. Don't worry, the government's here to help. Wasn't it Ronald Reagan who said, you know, the most scary things in the world is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, right? So we live in the government and wants to give and wants to give. You know what the problem with that is? What the world gives, the world can take away. If my hope and my security is from the world, they will take that. But Christian, my supply does not come from the world. It comes from Jesus Christ. And you know what? The world can't touch that.
Lord, in the midst of the tragedies, I will lift up a sacrifice of praise to you. Lastly, let our worship be now. In Jerusalem, when Jesus was coming in, riding on a colt, Luke 19 tells us this. And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, they spread many of their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. As I pointed out earlier, this scene is just so amazing to me. Because you got the hustle and bustle of the city going all around. You have the Roman soldiers marching in and out. And yet, over in the corner, Jesus comes in. Who's this guy riding a donkey? Right? That the peasants are throwing on their clothes and waving branches. That's not a whole bunch of fanfare. And yet for those who are in the midst, those that were there and right then, they turned around and they saw something. They saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The world missed it. Folks, don't miss it. Don't miss it. So many people are looking for other answers and other solutions, and they miss Jesus. And they turned around and they responded to the King and the Savior, what they saw. They saw the mighty works that he has done, and they couldn't hold back any longer. That they realized this was the chosen one of God. This was the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, and they lay all their hopes in him. Christians, we need to worship him now. He is in our presence. Jesus is here this morning. Think about that. He knows us, watches over us, he cares for us. And yet the crowd dismisses it. Luke 19 continues on. It says, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. You know, today we have a whole lot of people telling the church to be quiet. Right? If you're on any kind of social media, don't you post about Jesus. Don't stir the pot. Oh, you're a troublemaker. Don't stand up for what's right.
And Jesus turns around and he said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones will immediately cry out. Folks, Jesus is so worthy to be praised. Creation does it. The Bible tells us creation sings about the glory of God. Folks, if a rock is willing to cry out, how much more so should we? Joshua faced a similar circumstance. As they were heading into the promised land, the 12 spies turned around and said, don't go, don't go, don't go. God can do it. You know, there's a lot of people who will tell us all the things we can't do. And Joshua said this, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. You know what? I don't care what the rest of the world does. I don't care if they think I'm crazy. They probably do anyways. And it has nothing to do with my faith. It's just me. You know, I had a conversation with someone. Do you really believe that God created the world in 7 days? Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says so. I believe it. Well, you're stupid. I'd rather be a fool in their eyes than a fool in the eyes of God. I believe Jesus' blood is able to wash away every sin. Well, that's an old-fashioned religion. Let me tell you something. It's an old-fashioned gospel. Do you really believe that God's word is true? I had a conversation with someone. Do you really believe God's word is true? I said, every word of it.
Well, don't you understand that we've now discovered this and we are better than that and our scientists are so much smarter now? I said, you're not smarter than the author. Well, you're impossible. But I'm forgiven. And I'm going to praise him now. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Philippians reminds us this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Folks, the naysayers are going to bend their knee. The atheist down the road will bend his knee before Jesus someday. Those in Washington and those in Augusta will humble themselves before the Creator, the Judge, and the King of Kings someday, and their knee will bow. But you know what, folks? We have the opportunity to bow our knee, not because we have to, but we can bend our knee because we want to. Today. To worship him. Folks, let me tell you something. The stones don't need to cry out because God's people will. Amen? We will praise him for he is great and mighty. Amen? This morning, folks, let his people ring true the praises of his name. And not be ashamed of who he is, to stand on the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves sinners, that we'll stand on his truth, not be embarrassed, and we will praise him now, we will praise him openly until he comes. Folks, we need to choose that today. As Jesus came into Jerusalem and they were throwing down, Lord, may I have been one of the crowd shouting Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, you are my King. And I will praise you. May your lips never be far from my lips. Even in the hard times, Lord, fill me with your praise for who you are and all that you have in you. Fill your people with your praise, Lord. Let's pray.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and exalt you. Lord, how great you are. And Lord, help us not be ashamed. Lord, I pray this morning will just be that wake-up call. To let our light shine. To stand for truth, no matter what, no matter the cost. But Lord, you are worthy of it and so much more. Fill our hearts with praise, with worship this morning. Fill us with your love. And Lord, help us to love you back. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.